dynamic voices for a diverse church. This is Pass the Mic.
Greetings and God bless. Welcome to another episode of Pass the Mic, Dynamic Voices for a Diverse Church, powered by The Witness, a Black Christian collective. I'm your host, Tyler Burns. You can follow me on Twitter at Burns23. Follow at your own risk. And joining me today, I have a special guest, the funniest man on the internet that you've never heard of, my man Adam Keeley. He is the brand manager for The Witness. What's up, brother? How you doing?
What up, man? I didn't know he was going to stick that landing. I was like, wait a minute.
Hey.
Wait a minute. I'm ready, though. I received that.
Hey, man. A little fluidity, a little freestyle on my feet. You know what I'm saying?
I'm with it.
Nah, but so a lot of people don't realize this, but I've known Adam for so many years. Went to college together at the same time. And so we have some war stories that we trade. And this brother is so incredible to me, I think, because the way in which Adam processes life, also through that hilarious lens, but also through a very rooted faith. And, you know, I know I'm gassing you up right now.
I was like, I'm going to send this to my mom right now. Like, she need to know.
No, but I've really appreciated your insights, and I've quoted you many times on the podcast. So having you on again is really an honor for me. And we just wanted to do a COVID check-in, man. We wanted to check in with our listeners, see how you're feeling, how you're doing. And we had both had a couple of thoughts that were kind of probably unrelated, but also could probably also tie in as well. And this is the overarching view of ourselves in the midst of this. And so maybe it's good for us to take a moment and check in, because one of the things that I'm seeing, Adam, is that many of us are not being self-aware as the moments continue to go on.
Right, right.
And many of us are kind of treating, I heard this analogy from Andy Crouch. He said, many of us are treating COVID in a church and organizational sense like it's a blizzard when it's really an ice age. Mm. Right. So we treat it like it's a short-term inconvenience when it's really a long-term disruption and interruption.
Right.
And so I think that's really helpful for us as we kind of think about how we process our thoughts. And so our thoughts, you know, 1 month into quarantine and self-isolation should not be the same, you know, 3 months later or 4 months later. It's going to naturally evolve and grow. Yeah. And so how are you processing COVID right now, man? What's on your heart? Because you were talking about some things that you felt God was doing in the moment and some things tangibly that you can see and how it may be a little bit different. And that really blessed me and also challenged me as well. So how is Adam Keeley doing right now?
Hey, man. You know, I want to tell you that, but I gotta handle black man business before we get into your question. You know what
I'm saying? Don't do it, bro.
We gotta do it. You know what I'm saying? Because, listen, do not do the Lakeith Stanfield. I want you to have a good week, bro. I want you to love for real though. It's important, man. It's important that, I mean, the people need to know for real. Like, I think one thing about you is people see you through the lens of which they experience you. But it's such like, I mean, cause it's like, yo, the pastor work is out there. You know what I mean? The writing work is out there. The work with The Witness is out there. But I don't think people are putting together like, this is all the same dude though. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're hearing from a lot of different positions on the field, man. And I appreciate, and I always admire, like, I've been recently doing my first like work in the church space. I've never really done like work in the church space. And like, I've had times when I've thought to myself, like, yo, man, I got to get after it. Like, I know Tyler going to get after it. Because I see, you know what I mean? Man. I see the work that you put in.
Nah, man.
It's real, G. You know, especially my approach to the black church. I'm like, man, I got to put the team on my back. Because I know Tyler out here laboring, man. I gotta share arms with my brother, man. So, man, yeah.
Thank you, bro. Thank you, man. That means a lot. Coming from you, that means a lot, bro.
Don't try to edit this out either. To your question, man, you know, obviously this time, this shift has been wild for all of us. You know, there's a mental and emotional piece that I feel like we all are going through. You know, some days you're like, okay, I got a rhythm. And then other days you're like, you know, you just feel lost in the fog of what this is. You know what I mean? So there's definitely a lot of that, but kind of the wildest thing that I've been experiencing through this time is just like a lot of opportunity to do fruitful work, you know, that I that I feel blessed to have the opportunity to do that feels important. It feels kingdom building. And so there's like a pride, especially when, you know, we're all out here in phases of life where you're just plucking away. You know what I mean? You're plucking away and trusting on the Lord and waiting on the Lord. And to see some of that stuff come to fruition at the same time as this has been tough to deal with mentally and emotionally. You know what I mean? Like, I was talking to my dad about it, you know, and he has this phrase he always would say, and he would, he always says that a reward for a job well done is more work. That's what he would always tell me. You know what I mean?
Yes.
When you're doing your job well, people just gonna keep asking you to do it and do more. And you know, it's weird because I want to be a helper and I want to live a life of service. But it's just weird to be like, wow, this is really going well. I don't even want to say going well out loud. You know what I mean? It don't even feel right to be like, it's going well right now. And I know so many others are experiencing, you know, different things. So that's been kind of the duality of where I'm at. I feel blessed, man. I feel like I'm in the middle of my purpose. You know what I mean? I feel the Lord near to me. And I know a lot of people don't. At the same time.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You know? So that's weird.
Bruh, so that's a really interesting perspective. And that's why it really challenged me so much, because I think we automatically assume that everyone is struggling right now. And you know, I was thinking, because I watched Patriot Act with Hasan Minhaj. Mm-hmm. And we were watching it, and Hasan does this joke where he's like, yo, what's good with, he was mentioning Skype. He was like, yo, what's good with Skype? Like, Skype had literally a 17-year head start. And Zoom just like came through and took like all your shine. And it's funny because most of us like associate, you know, COVID with struggles. Even that episode was about the rental crisis that's coming. You know, a lot of people getting ready to get evicted. And then you have Zoom, and Zoom is flourishing right now. Zoom is like, man, we getting so much traffic, we shutting down, you know, like happened on Sunday.
For sure.
And so as we process all that, there are some people who are coming up right now. And there's some people who are experiencing great blessings and rewards. And I think there's a duality, because I think for some of us who are like, I don't know what y'all talking about, that check ain't hit. It ain't hit we thought it would, or didn't hit in the time we needed it to. And then for others of us, we're like, we've experienced depth of loss right now. And then for the people who are experiencing it, they're like, man, it's not because I don't want to seem like I'm on the backs of everybody else.
Right.
Or seem like I'm exceptional because I'm making it during this time. But like, how do you manage that? So like, how are you processing that right now? You know, it kind of feels like it's a version of survivor's remorse, right? Yeah. You're surviving and thriving.
Definitely.
And how do you process that?
Yeah, for sure. That's been a tough thing. That's been a tough thing for me. You know, I've been, we were talking about this, you know, I've been kind of like walk jogging a little bit more in the morning ever since Ahmad's killing. And that's been just a wonderful time with the Lord. And I'm just processing like, you know, God, what does this mean? You know, how do I feel about this? And one of the major takeaways that I kind of have, I guess I'm thankful for about the timing of stuff like this is, you know, God didn't allow these things to happen in a time where I could get caught up and forget about what was happening around me. You know what I'm saying? Like if this was just a pre-COVID era, I could just be like, yo, Tyler, this joint, this crate, da, 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 da. And it would just be that. And it would be very easy for me to just get caught up in the wave. Right. There is no wave. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no way for me to get caught up in it. And so even though I'm like, oh, this is a blessing, this is cool, this is da 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 da, it's still not, you know, the way everything around me in life is, I just can't allow myself to revel in it in a way that is, you know, prideful or anything like that, man. It's wild.
Yeah, and you know what I think is also really interesting about that is, you know, you're not just succeeding, but there's people on a large scale that are flourishing.
Yeah.
You got the national things, right?
Yeah.
So every weekend, as much as I possibly can, I'm always, you know, trying to lock into the versus battle, whatever it is.
Right.
The only one I couldn't get down with is Bone Thugs and 3-6 because it's just too much demonic activity going on there. But, you know, Pentecostal background, it just, you know.
Total.
I was like, nah, man, I got to anoint this. I got to anoint this screen.
Not my house.
Yeah, I can't do that. You know, so this is what's so funny. This is an aside, so this is a tangent. But you know how deep that is in me? And it's not just because I'm a pastor, but it's literally because I have these like spiritual warfare convictions. That new Drake album came out. And so I was like, okay, I'm gonna listen to the new Drake. And I saw they got a song on there called Demons. Mm. And I was like, well, you know, you're probably talking about like, I'm working so hard. It's like, yeah, you know, I'm a demon or whatever. I turned that joint on and it was like demonic for real. I was like, oh nah, man. I had to cut that joint off. I'm like, I can't.
That's crazy.
them habits die hard, man. But anyway, as a tangent. But you know, there's a lot of people who are flourishing nationally, right? And there are a lot of people, like if you take the versus battles, I mean, people are getting over 1 billion impressions and streams are tripling for people.
Yeah.
Like Jill Scott and Erykah Badu, and all these things are happening. And people can look at that and be like, man, you know, my idea, whatever it may be that goes online or my business that everybody told me I should be starting, it doesn't hit the same or it's not getting traction or people have spent all their money already. You know, how do we process that nationally too? Because we're consuming those products and we were talking about a lot of different names outside of just Versus as well really like flourishing right now.
Yeah, it's odd, man. You know what I mean? Like, you know, obviously there's Tabitha Brown. If people don't know, she's a wonderful black woman, mother, believer who just, you know, I read an article where they're calling her America's mom right now. You know what I mean? Where she just has like a
super they definitely maiming her a little bit.
They're trying. She gonna get to the bag though. She'll be all right. But you know,
We happy for her. I just know how they act.
You know, for sure. That's what they want. They'll spirit animal you real quick out here. And then D Nice, you know, with his DJ sets, have, you know, just been massively popular. And it's an odd thing to correlate your come up with, you know what I mean, that time. But I feel like I don't know. I keep thinking of that that Mr. Rogers, that story about him saying something bad on TV and his mom said to whenever something bad happens, look to the helpers. You'll always see people that are helpers. And something in my spirit wants to say that, like, I feel like a lot of people coming up are the helpers, man. You know what I mean? I feel like people are looking... Yes. They're looking for that feeling, you know what I mean? And so the people that have that around them are, you know what I'm saying? Shining a little bit brighter because the value on celebrities at an all time low, the value on, you know, if you could get a credit card and hop in a private jet and go to Ibiza, it don't matter no more because you can't go to Ibiza. Mm. You know what I mean? You can't get on, you know what I mean? All this stuff don't matter anymore. So when you remove all of those distractions, all that's left is that feel, man, that personality, that spirit behind it. And I think that's why you see, you know, with the versus battles, it's just us celebrating, you know, the culture. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's not about, you know, most of the artists on Versus are not currently popping artists. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Exactly, so it's like, it's not even about who's popping, who's got the most followers. It's just about like, we're looking for that feel. Like, you know what I mean? And I feel like a lot of people are just the helpers, man. And whatever that is, if it's Instagram, if it's, you know, what you're doing for your church, if it's around your city, man, the helpers, I think, are kind of like having a moment. Attention wise, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. And I'm so glad that you said that because as I was processing what you were talking about, what we were talking about earlier and what you just said, you know, people feel bad for their moments of success, but the truth is the entire community needs you to succeed.
That's good.
The entire community needs your success. And that's part of the communal nature, right? So I think, you know, not to get too hyper theological, but one of the things I've been trying to teach my church is the difference between scarcity and abundance. So we have a theology and a mindset of scarcity, right? So we have this approach where we look at life, and especially in ministry, unfortunately, as it's only a few people that can make it, quote unquote.
Right.
So it's only a few people that can win, mm-hmm. only a few people that can make it. And as much as someone else wins, that reduces the opportunity for me to win too.
Right.
And Definitely. That theology of scarcity, it turns people into commodities, makes right. relationships transactional, mm-hmm. Contractual. It just makes these things kind of reduce themselves down into what's the benefit for me, mm. because I know there's only limited resources available out there.
Right.
And the truth is, man, we believe in a theology of abundance, and that right. theology of abundance says that there is more than enough, you know, to that's use good. A black churchism, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And so if that's the truth, and that there's more than enough, that we serve the God of more than enough, mm-hmm. then he is able to make all of us abound in the way that we're supposed to.
Yeah.
And so, you know, not to get too theological, I think it's really important for us to have that theology of abundance, and to also say, you know, that when we see someone who has their come up in this moment,
right.
we as a community must celebrate it, because we need them in that spot. Whatever that is, we need them in that spot, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think it's helpful for us to remember, like, it's not like it's a limited amount of spots.
That's true.
You know, yeah. it's like that whole Black Boy Fly concept, right? That mm-hmm. Kendrick Lamar, one of my favorite songs from him, probably my favorite song from him, where he talks about this whole idea of Game and Aaron Aflalo. And when he saw them grow up in the same area, mm-hmm. and they made it, it was like, oh, well, if they make it, I can't make it, because it's only a few spots, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's helpful for us. I think progressing our community,
right?
It's going to be important for us to be celebrators.
That's good.
Not people who are consumed with jealousy, not people who are consumed with envy. For like, sure. And I'll shout out some people. Like, I saw one of my favorite moments of the quarantine was seeing Lisa Fields get to interview Kirk Franklin. And yeah. Charlie Gates. Mm-hmm. That was like a huge, I was For like, sure. yo, that's crazy. For that's sure. like a huge, that's amazing, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's really helpful for us, because it's like, man, that is, if she wins, we win.
We win.
Like, yeah. that's family right there, you sure. know?
Yeah,
like,
definitely, definitely.
Lisa's family. Lisa mm-hmm. supported Joy and Justice, and it was in the mix, yeah, like, and sure. came and spoke. And it's like, yeah. man, our first national conference, she was there and supporting on the front row. And it's right. like, yo, If she wins, we all win.
That's real.
You know?
For sure.
And that's really cool, I think, for us to kind of think about and process as we see success, and then also as we experience success. If you're experiencing success, like, yeah. the community needs you to succeed.
Yeah.
You know?
That's you know, that those are wise words. That, you know, I wish we could have had this conversation when I first moved to Chicago, because I spent a couple of years figuring that out. And because when I came to Chicago, I was like, I want to be the funniest person in the city. That's what I was like. That's where my mind was at. And it's because that's how we're raised, right? When you're in school, there's a valedictorian. You know what I mean? You're on the football team, somebody has the fastest 40. We're raised in that mindset. But then I came to see people who did things and did things well that I could never do. So we're not even comparable. You know what I mean? We don't do the same things at all. We both do comedy, right? The end goal is the same, but how could I even compare myself to you? So the only two options I have is to appreciate you and celebrate you, or to hate on you, right? Out of an insecurity, right? To project my own insecurities. But we see that in the real world too, man. We see that in the real world too, where you see a lot of people, because they don't understand or can't do what you do, they hate on you, right? And that comes in a lot of forms, relational, social, political, you know what I mean? When people, when they can't get a grasp on it, they try to shut it down. But that's a whole nother tangent. Yeah, man.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because, man, let me tell you, and this is just, I'm just speaking out of what my personal experience is. It may be different from yours that are listening, but, you know, one of the things that has been so difficult, has been such a blessing, but also a double-edged sword in this time of quarantine and online church, is how many churches are online, right? How many churches are going live?
For sure.
And so, you know, a lot of your major big churches are going live. And so it is something else to monitor my heart on a Sunday. Mm. And I'm being straight up with y'all, because this PTL, we gonna be honest. It is hard to watch, because you sit back and you're like, immediately, as soon as you click a live, you're like measuring yourself against that person. Mm-hmm. That's just the temptation. It's like,
natural, right?
Dad, they got like 300 viewers live right now, active. I mean, it's cool. I mean, you know, I guess if that's your thing, like, and it's not even intentional. It's just what is naturally in us.
Right.
And that has been killed in us, right? So you got these massive mega church pastors, thousands upon thousands of people watching, tuned in. And it's so hard. It's so easy to quote Philippians 1, like, no matter what the motives are, no matter who, where they are, like, nevertheless, the gospel is being preached. And so I rejoice. Like, it's so hard. It's easy to quote it. It's so hard to live that out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all of us are experiencing that on a microcosmic level in the way in which we see people's job success, or we see people's families, or we see people's marriages, or we see people's connection with whatever, or we see just their possessions, or we see that they got a full fridge right now.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be real. Like, yo, a full fridge right now for a lot of people, a food that is healthy and like fresh. People are like, yo, we tired of eating frozen pizza.
Yeah, that's real.
I mean, be real. We tired of like frying French fries. You know what I'm saying? Like, we tired of that, you know? And so I think it's like, man, it's been such a war on our hearts. And so I think it's incumbent upon us as a community to really take a step back and say, what's a Black Christian perspective on success in a time of quarantine and success in a time of pain and success in a time of suffering for so many people, where tens of thousands of people are losing their lives. And I think we have to take a step back and say that there is a responsibility that the community has.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is a responsibility that those who are being elevated and experiencing success, there's a responsibility upon them not to look down upon us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, like, for sure. For sure.
Because here's the thing. Once you're in that spot, it's so easy to forget where you came from.
Yeah.
It's so easy to forget, like, the people who have propped you up, you know?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. You get in those new rooms and you got new people saying all these kinds of things about you and you are just gone. You know what I mean? But one thing I wanted to bring up that you just reminded me of, and it also touches on the shame piece that we were kind of talking about a little bit. You know, it's probably been over a month now, you know, time works differently now, who knows, when it was, but I think it was over a month ago. There was it made national news. There was a party, here in Chicago. It was on the West side. Mm-hmm. If anybody wants to be specific, cause I live on the South side. We don't do those things over here. it was on the West side, but, and shout out to the Tribe, which is a great, The Tribe is a wonderful publication. Everybody should follow them on Twitter. Basically, I think her name is Morgan. I'm forgetting her last name. But she broke off from larger publications, and they just started a publication for Black millennials, and that's it. Like, they're like, this news ain't working for us. So they put together The Tribe. It's a wonderful publication. Mm-hmm. But she had a really great interview with the young lady whose house that party was at. It was all over the news because the house was packed out. And one of the things that she was saying is she was like, you know, I was looking at the news and I was seeing this stuff, you know, getting, you know, shared around and stuff. And it's all these people. She was like, y'all got big old houses. Y'all got pools. Y'all got food. You have stuff to do. We're sitting here doing nothing, broke all day. You know what I mean? Like, and that joint hit me. You know what I mean? Because it really is a lot of people who have a lot of resources. You know what I mean? To ride this wave out that are coming down to people who are just, you know, and I'm not co-signing their decision or whatever, but it's just a thing that we have to think about when we start, you know, deciding who is doing right and who is doing wrong. You know, a lot of these answers in a time like this are not as clean cut. You know what I mean? You can't get to them as quickly. So that what you said reminded me of that a lot.
Let's transition, because I'm glad you brought this up. We need to transition to this very important thought, this very important truth that I need everyone to repeat and remember. Please stop shaming Black people during the time of a pandemic. Please. Yeah. Can you please stop? Listen, you got me. Okay, this is my rant.
Yeah, no.
This is a rant I've been holding for a minute. I'm not saying it's all put together or whatever. I'm just saying I'm so tired of seeing people at various levels of life taking a global pandemic as an opportunity to shame our community.
Yeah.
As an opportunity to talk about all the pathological errors that we are predisposed to in their minds. I'm so tired of it. We are dealing with a pandemic. Mm-hmm. We do not have a social safety net in place for people who are going to be adversely affected on the margins from the negative effects of a pandemic. May they be economic, may they be vocational, maybe their healthcare, family. Do you realize that people who are working 2 to 3 jobs are now having to stay at home, homeschool their kids, figure out how to pay rent, make sure that they have enough money in the bank so that they can go out and buy groceries. Mm-hmm. They're having to deal with the fact that they might get sick. And if they get sick, a lot of these people don't have health insurance. Or if they do, they're worried about whether or not they're going to have a bed. Then they're worried about whether or not they're going to have someone to take care of their kids. Not having the same social net as the church, in the church, because the church now is losing money as well. So they're not able to help as many people who are marginalized and on the edges of society. And we're still talking about, well, you know, it's because of our diet. Well, you know, it's because when you know why we have predisposed conditions, because we eat junk food. In the time of a pandemic, who has money? Who like for real? How many? What is the percentage of people who have money to go out and buy at the co-op in the health food store and have money to go out and plant a garden? and do that and deal with that. Who right now has that opportunity? Right. How many people? There are some that do. And there are others that do not. Many, the overwhelming majority. And we're talking about people's health decisions. And we're talking about what people do for entertainment. Yes, it needs to be safe. Yes, we need to make sure that we're not infecting the people around us. I understand all that. But man, where's the... Why are we shaming? What for? What are we gaining from this? Who's changing because of shame? Who's changing because you got them tweets off, bro? Who's changing?
Yeah.
Who is changing? Like, who is changing? Who's like, you know what I need to do? I need to go get an investment loan because I need to go and start a business right now.
That's real. Yeah, for sure.
If you're depressed, what are we doing here? People are sick of being inside. Mothers are now dealing with kids in a way that they haven't had to deal with kids before. They get ready to pull their hairs out. They can already get upset. They can already lose it. And we out here shaming them. I'm so tired. And I expect it from the culture. I hate it from the church. I hate it. I cannot stand it from this talented 10th, we the best mentality.
Yeah, man.
The underclass. You know what? Look at them. Right. This is why we can't have nice things. Because y'all out here buying Jordans. And it's like, man. What good is your passport right now? Like, what good is passport Twitter right now? What good is investment Twitter right now?
Yeah.
What good is it? Like, for real?
No, it's real.
And I'm not talking about storing up, and I'm not talking about planning. I'm not talking about the ant and just go to the ant, you sluggard, and all these people, all these verses I hear. Yeah. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying I'm so frustrated with this idea that we got to get shots off at our community.
Sure.
There is a way for us to uplift and empower our community that does not predispose it to shame and self-doubt and self-hate. There is a way for us to do that. And if you're not going to light up the path, and if you're not going to make the path, this is another thing. If you're not going to make the path affordable for everyone to walk down, then keep it to yourself.
Right. That's right.
Privately message all those people. Let them know what you're doing.
Right.
But you out here telling people who are like, man, I'm struggling. I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep the lights on.
Right.
And this dude talking about the fact that, you see, this is why we have high blood pressure because of this. And it's like, and it's not just health. It's all kinds of things.
Yeah.
See, if we were investing, it's okay. We'll think about that next time when a pandemic comes up.
Right. Exactly.
And I'm just saying, we got to have more grace for our people, man. Like, that's real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my rant.
No, it's real. It's needed. It's needed because it's so prevalent right now. I think everybody's on edge. You know what I mean? Everybody's got all this stuff going around. Mm-hmm. So we just lash out, right? We lash out because we don't know what to do. You know, I had a mentor of mine. And she was telling me, you know, she was specifically talking about actually social media and interacting with it as, you know, someone in the entertainment space and all that kind of stuff. And she was like, you know, before you post something, you need to ask yourself, like, who is this serving? You know what I mean? Like, what story am I telling? Mm-hmm. And who is it serving? And am I doing it justice? You know what I mean? So to your end, Tyler, I feel like the full stop thing is just like, when you get ready to say something like that, who are you serving? Who are you benefiting by saying that? Mm-hmm. Because if you know you're not, then you're really clout chasing. You're like a reverse pick me. You know what I'm saying? You clout chasing. Because it's like, okay, it's cool that you know better. That's great. You did it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's great that you know better. But what are you not doing any benefit to anyone whatsoever. All you're trying to do is separate yourself. You know what I mean? It's like back in the day, we always used to wear tags on our hats and stuff so you could know that it was a new. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's because you didn't want people to think it was new. So you put the sticker on. And it's like, that's all you're doing. You're trying to brand yourself as different. And that's some cornball stuff to do. It's really the corniest thing to do in the world. Because the people who is really for the culture, right? If you see people around you struggling and stuff like that, to your point, like, if you're not going to DM them at least, right? If you're not going to shoot them some information, shoot them some opportunities, you really need to be getting your hands in the mud with people in a time like this. Like, if you're not going to get, you know what I mean? And if you're not going to get your hands in the mud with people, you don't have a place to criticize from. You know what I mean? So man, I really like, people got to really check their intentions, and we can't come up and get our value, and we can't thrive off of like just objectifying and calling out people who literally don't know or have access to better. That's corny.
And that's the thing right there. That's the key, is the access to better, right? Like why do we have a limited access to these resources? Right. It's because of systemic factors. Mm-hmm. It's just no way around it. Whether it's genetic factors, whether it's neuroscientific factors, whether it's educational factors, neighborhood, city factors, all these things matter. Food deserts, all these things profoundly matter in the conversation. And so what I'm saying is we have to have a full and total conversation. But to be honest with you, now probably isn't the time to have the full and total conversation.
No.
Now is the time to highlight pathways for us to succeed.
Right.
Now is the time for us to highlight pathways for us to make it out. Not to be out here being like, see, I hate it whenever this comes up. And hey, look, I understand. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I get it. People are like, man, you know what? Y'all don't know how to hunt and fish. You ain't ready for revolution. And I'm like, okay, well, I appreciate that. That's true. Now, not everybody is in a rural setting where they need to hunt and fish.
Right.
Not everybody has access to that. But okay, I appreciate the sentiment. It means that we need to be prepared for the resistance and the revolution that we seek. Okay, I get you. Now show us and tell us how that is going to be facilitated. Tell us how we can go from zero to where you are.
Right.
And a lot of people, let's just be real, a lot of people do not want to give the blueprint out of the place that they like to shame.
No.
Because we need an underclass. We need a lower class. We need somebody to point to and say, I'm better than this person, or I'm more advanced than they are, or look at how far I came. Because there's no rags to riches story if people still ain't in rags.
Right. Yeah, that's real.
And so a lot of people, they don't want to give the blueprint out. They want to hoard it. They'll be like, well, I'll give you a little bit, but you got to pay me, $9.99 for me to get this. Right. And listen, I'm not saying there's not room for you to be compensated. That's not what I'm saying. And I'm not shooting at anybody. Listen, all I'm saying is I see that we are hiding and hoarding the resources that can help our community. And then we shame them. And that's whack, man.
Yeah.
It's whack and it's anti-gospel. I'll just say that.
Sure.
Okay. It is anti-gospel. It's anti the message of Jesus. And we should be better than that. And what I see is a lot of really great churches and organizations who are choosing a different route.
Yeah.
Who are choosing the route not just to help people and not just to be those who do outreach, but also to address systemic factors and also to provide training in this time. And so, man, I just want to create, I don't know if we can create a thread on The Witness or something, or a PTM group. Man, just some resources that people can take advantage of right now. I mean, we really need to do that, because it's like now we can amplify, some ways that people can better themselves in this moment for low to no cost.
Yep.
Or they can also receive resources that they need, essential services like man, I didn't know about don'tgetkickedout.com, right? Mm-hmm. Which is basically this resource that Hasan Minhaj and those people put together to basically see if you qualify for some housing exemptions for eviction, right? Yeah. I didn't know about some of the things about housing court. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, man, I need to know about this. Like, I need to be able to put people on and how people don't know these things and aren't aware. And because they're not aware, they go in and they get evicted and kicked out of their homes. They no longer have a roof over their head. Like, I didn't know these things. And so now we're in this place and now we're in this space where we can share those details and share that with other people. And that's what we need to be doing right now.
That is like literally, it's not the only move, but it's as close to the only move as the only move could be. You know what I mean? That's that's the mission, man. I'm not even going to try to add anything to it. That's what it is. You know what I mean? We need to do that. We will build it out. We'll build it out and work on it because, you know, if we're not pulling everybody along to this right now, it's like, what are we doing? You know what I mean? Back to the thing we were talking about earlier. It's like, oh, it's cool. Like you're getting a little, you know, you're getting some more crowns, you know, you're doing your thing. That's fine. But, you know, everybody else out here, you know what I mean? Like there's a ton of resources. I don't want to keep shouting stuff out. We'll put together a thread and
that's a beautiful idea.
You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of stuff out here, man. There's whole charities right now that have pivoted from what their mission was to just now. They're just, if you can go on their site and then apply, and if you qualify, they're just going to send you $1,000, $500. You know what I mean? Because whatever their mission values is kind of done for right now. So they're just like, well, you know, this money was going to be used to help people anyways. You know what I mean? So there's so many resources out there here in Chicago. You know, my church is part of a conglomerate of churches that are just, they're struggling. A lot of older people EBT is struggling. A lot of people's food stamps cards aren't working because the government is so backed up. And so, you know, my church joined with the coalition of churches that is just like, hey, like show us how much you get in your food stamps and we'll just buy groceries for you. And then we'll just figure out how to get the money back later. You know what I mean? If your stuff is not working, people are being creative out here. You know what I mean? They're being creative. They're helping folks. And as Black Christians, man, this is what we've been baked in, right? This is our lineage. You know what I mean? This is our lineage. And so, you know, especially us as, you know, I've been talking to a lot of my friends, especially people who are millennials. You know, if you're in your upper 20s and your 30s right now and going into your early 40s, this is a time of life where you are young enough to and able-bodied enough to pitch in and smart enough to lead and know better. You know what I mean? And so it's just like, you know what I mean? Like my niece is 16 years old. She's just trying to not be bored. You know what I'm saying? Like she's just trying to like whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm grown. You know, I'm grown enough to understand these things. And this is the lineage when we talk about the Mega Evers and the Fannie Lou Hamer. This is the lineage of, you know what I mean? Yes. Of the people that we rest on the shoulders of. And this is our time to step into that calling. Because if you're not going to do it now, you never are going to do it. Whatever. Right. You know what I'm saying? If this doesn't spur you to just be about other things outside of your, you know what I mean? That time is never going to come. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If it's not coming now. So
yeah, man, such a word, bro, man. I appreciate you hopping on and, you know, man. As you were talking, I talked about the lineage recently was Malcolm X's birthday, you know? So people talk about, you know, the fact that he would have been 95 if he were still here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought about it. I was grieved by the fact that people, you know, at the end of the movie, Malcolm X, it says, man, he loved us so much. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm grieved by this concept that people don't see that in us, you know, where we proclaim our faith and we proclaim a Jesus who comes full of grace and truth, you know, comes to serve people, and they don't look, the Black community doesn't look at us and say, they love us so much. Mm. What a shame, man. Like what a shame, shame on us. Those of us who should be leading in that age group that you mentioned. Man. You know, like what a shame, you know, that that's not what's happening for us. So,
man,
hopefully that can change and hopefully we take that step, man. Yeah. Thank you, Keys, bro.
Yeah, man.
This was dope, man. This was dope. It was encouraging, man. And we definitely got to have you back on. I'm proud of you, bro.
Hey, I'm proud of you, bro.
Man, get out of here, man.